What a privilege. What an honor. What an honor to enter into the throne room of God boldly, not be ashamed. And He accept us. Say, hi, son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to give some more unto the Lord. It's never enough, but let's do it. Let's give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you need a cash giving envelope, raise your hands. If you need a cash envelope, raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Do everything as unto the Lord. Praise your Lord. While you're making your checks or preparing, let me say this. I think we have an opportunity to use a condo. And we're thinking it's for about a week, but we're thinking about the men taking a couple of days and women taking a couple of days. Yeah, Frisco. We went there once before and had a good time. It was an interesting place. Ate at a really, really good restaurant and a really, really bad one. So we've got the bad one now marked off the list. Well, I'm guaranteeing we won't, yes, but we won't be eating at that really bad one either. Anyway, if you're interested, talk to one of these two people and tell them it'll cost you a few bucks, but not very much. We've got to pay the expenses. I think this belongs to Renee's mother, if I'm not mistaken. And we wouldn't want to take advantage of her. We'd at least pay her maintenance fees for her. I'm sure that'd be a blessing to her and a blessing to us. All right, if you gentlemen will come forward. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give again to you this morning. We count it as a privilege to take some things that you've given us charge over. We now take it as a privilege to give back to you. Not just because we have to, and not just because we'll get something back from it, but because it pleases you. We do this by your command and in your name. Everybody agrees, says amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are there any other announcements? Debbie Milligan, November the 14th. You want to invite some people? Richard, are you coming up here?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Thank you.
Isn't that amazing? You know, the concept behind that is that there's no loss and there's no cost. Everything we do is racing against time. Do you know that? Right now, everything we do is racing against time. It's a factor that never leaves our head. It's a cost. We know that whatever moment we've spent, we'll never get again. Whatever dollar we spent, we'll never get again. And yet, in that time that he's referring to, when time is no more, the Bible says, that doesn't mean there's no more time. All that means in our concept is this, we never lose time. Time is something that is is non-existence because there's no loss of it. There's no, as we know it, there's no rising of the sun or setting of the same, which means the day that we enter into never goes away. And we don't get tired because it doesn't cost us anything. Isn't that amazing? Now, inside of us right now, that's already begun. Spiritually speaking, we should never lose. It should never cost us anything. Spiritually speaking, we shouldn't do anything but just gain until that point in time when we're in that realm. Now, that may sound a little spacey, but it's real. It's real. That's right. Much more real. The only thing that the thing that we wrestle with today is this unreality. Is flesh unreality. It tries to have the biggest say. And our job is to kill that flesh so that our spirit has, the eternal spirit, has full say.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's where I want to be. That's where I want to dwell. God knows that's what I want. And therefore, He's working with me against my flesh to create that. Flesh is not my enemy, no more than my car is my enemy. It's a vehicle to use. I fill it so it doesn't run out. It keeps moving. I sleep so it doesn't run out. I just keeps moving. I do it favors by maintenance. But one day there'll be no maintenance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think the Lord has something very simple to speak to us this morning. An encouraging word. It's not going to be hard to understand. Isn't that amazing? Just an encouraging word, a word of building up. Praise the Lord. We'll trust God opens our heart right now. This is just a statement of agreement to His words. And these simple words can become hardcore meat for us, full of energy and strength. Amen? All right. Well, thank you for being here. This is the best place there is to be. I'll say it again. A lot of places we could have been. This is the best. Not only the best as far as in, feeding and enjoyment, but the best where we can grow. I know that when I was growing up, my mom encouraged me to eat vegetables. She didn't have to encourage me to eat meat. But she had to encourage me to eat vegetables. She said, it's good for you. Eat it. We could say that being out on a beach or being in a mountain or being somewhere would be good for us today. But what's better for us is to be here. Amen? So let's just eat, partake. Praise the Lord. All right. This is Labor Day. We have many, our celebration of Labor Day. There are many people out. I pray that God takes care of them and puts a desire in them to be back here quickly. Amen? But never leaves them. Stays with them. Today I would like for us to consider and be thankful for the labor of love and completion that God and His Son Jesus has secured and completed for us. We're celebrating Labor Day, and that means we're celebrating the labor that's men have put out and the profit that's come from that, how it's increased our country, how we live good lives. And we accredit that to work, to labor. We forget that it's all of our glory goes to God, not what we do. I'm just concerned that in our good life and our celebration that we forget about the labor that God and Jesus Christ has done. I want to get us back focused to that today. We have one God, and we need to get so simple that to say that He has done one work. Is that so simple? It's complicated. One God that has done one work. You know, the other day we went out and built a building out in the middle of nowhere, and that was one work. It required many different aspects, but it was one work. There was a reason for beginning, and it was a reason for the end, and it was the same thing. That thing had to be finished so somebody can use it. That's the one work that God did. He did many different things, but it was to provide a finished product so that we could use that product. Come on. All right. He accomplished it for you and I. He accomplished it for this earth. Because He's done that, we truly have a good life. And He's the main reason to celebrate.
Right.
Not some man's work. I want to go back to our basic roots and our basic belief. That is this, that we are secure, we are blessed,
yes.
We are full of hope,
amen.
We are full of health and prosperity because of the work that God has already done.
Right.
A work so sure and so thorough that we are required to celebrate.
Amen.
I mean, there's something within us that just requires us to say, thank you, Lord. It requires us to believe, and it requires us to trust and praise and receive. You know, I was talking to Jason yesterday, and he was out in El Paso. They're going to fly back today in their helicopters. And I said, well, be blessed and be safe. And he said, oh, we will. The work that God and I have done will cause that. And I said, well, mostly God, right, Jason? Not so much what you've done, but mostly God, right, Jason? Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right. See, that's the attitude we get. Sometimes we get to the point where we believe that we have to do certain things to make this bird work. I mean, Jason's basically in charge of a helicopter, and he knows that if he doesn't do certain things, that thing won't stay in the air. So he gets to what we do is we transfer that in or translate it into our walk with God. Well, I got news for you. God completed this work before you and I ever discovered America. All He wants us to do is believe that He's done the work before we discovered America, believe that the work is finished, and speak it. Just confirm it in your spirit. And then every once in a while, thank Him for it. That's how simple this whole thing is. It hasn't got to do with a super righteous lifestyle, even though God's always putting that pressure on us. I want you to be more righteous. I want you to be more holy. But He doesn't say, or I'll jerk the rug out from under you. All we have to do is just understand that He has completed a work. It's that simple. As we converse, what do we relate to others? Do we relate a knowledge of a sure work by a true and faithful God, or a vulnerability to all forms of disaster? When you speak, do people understand you to be a vulnerable individual or a bulletproof individual? Because of a work that God has done. See, I really think sometimes that we need to be more accused of being egotistical. Much more. Oh, you don't think anything touch you. Right. You just think you know everything. Right. Well, you just think you're. Right. I agree.
Amen.
I agree. Not because of who I am and not because of what I've done, but because of a glorious free gift that God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
I was talking to someone this week, and I got tickled. They were talking about the fuel, the energy crisis. I didn't know we had one. I just thought they were jacking up the prices. I think that's reality. And they were beginning to go into this thing, we're going to run out. In 20 years, we won't have any fuel. And, of course, if I'd have been in a position where I could do this, I would have said, oh yeah, God was 20 years shy. I mean, He could only go out to 20 years from now. He didn't know how to provide after that, right? And then it got worse. We're going to run out in 20 years, and I'm going into this business right now, and I'm getting this thing started, and it looks like that within a few years, there's not going to be any money so people can come see me, and the money's not going to be there. Well, come on, when we start speaking doom and gloom, it gets bigger. The more we talk about it, the bigger it gets. And some people, the faster and the bigger it gets. And within a matter of just less than a minute, we went from being a nice lifestyle to total doom and destruction. And I said, you know, what are you going to do about it? See, the trouble is, and I used to talk about this a lot, the what if needs to be at the end of every one of your sentences. What if it's just exactly like you said? Well, see, if you're talking faith, the what if is easy. If I believe I'm healed by faith, then what if? There ain't no what if. I'm healed. But what if I get cancer and I don't have any faith? Well, the what if is you're dead meat. Bye. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, then quit saying it. Let's don't say things that are not true. What's not true is that whatever God said or didn't say is not true. Whatever He said is true. He never promised you cancer. Why do we plant it and water it and cultivate it until we got it? I don't understand it. He was worried about running out of things that he didn't even have anyway. He doesn't own any oil, and he doesn't own any gas, and he doesn't own any natural resources, and he's running out of it. Let me put it even more clear. Whatever resource he had, he may be running out of. And if all I have is the faith in what mankind can do, what the earth can provide, and what I can do, I'm in serious trouble. But if I trust a true God that saw the beginning and the end, as the Scripture says, a true God that promised to take care of me, then a true God that's not depending upon oil or gas to take care of me, what have I got to worry about? What if we run out of oil in 20 years? Don't you think God's smart enough to provide something better? He had no control of it, and he had no ability to change it. So now I've got something to worry about. Come on. If that's our life, I have no control of it, I have no way to change it, then we have much to worry about. Or we have much to trust about. Depends on which avenue I take. This week, I have had some aches and pains, mostly from being lazy and then working. But you see, the devil never comes and says it's natural. Don't worry, you'll get over it. When's the last time the devil told you that one? Don't worry about it. It'll all be okay. That's up to you to say because of your faith in God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to say, doom, gloom, despair, agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. That's his job. If that's his job, what's your job?
Call him a liar.
Yeah, talk to somebody else. Call him a liar. Say, my antenna's not up to that.
Right.
Or better yet, when that phone call comes from the devil, hand it to God and say, this call's for you.
Right.
See how far he gets that way. Isn't that what he says? Cast all your cares upon him.
Right.
If the devil's one of your cares. Let us consider where our faith lies. Y'all like that term, where your faith lies? Kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Faith lies. I don't know why I put that down there. Where's your faith? Where's it acting? Where it's not acting? Where it's working and not working? Number one, what does it really take for us to give up our faith in our Savior? Is it there won't be any fuel in 20 years? Is it a stabbing pain where there shouldn't be one? Are you sure? What does it really take for us to give up our faith in our Savior and the mighty, all-encompassing work that He's completed? A little pain. Does pain ever negate the work of God?
No.
Then why do we act like it does? Why, when you call somebody up that's in pain, that they only talk about the pain? They don't talk about the work that's been done. Now, come on, let's get down where we live. Let's don't get religious here and say yes and amen and not be hurt once in a while. Not be stabbed a little bit by the truth. Do people know us as one that complains a lot or praises a lot? Does pain, does lack of funds negate the work of God?
Nope.
Well, God has done this to me. Well, what about all those checks you wrote and all those charge cards you used? Did you have anything to do with it? Here's a good one. How about the lack of control? Does that negate the work of God? The lack of your control, does it negate the work of God? Does complaining negate the work of God in your life? Let me say it another way. I caught myself complaining, therefore the work of God doesn't happen anymore. No, it doesn't. In other words, our fussing about it's not going the way I want, does that mean it's not going the way I want? Yes, if you keep at it long enough, that's exactly what it means. But it's not a slip-up. A slip-up is not the end of the world. Connie was watching some goofy movie last night. And one of the things I noticed is that every time something went wrong in the movie, they threw something. They threw their answering machine several times. They threw cups. They threw glasses. And I'm going, don't these people know that they're ruining their own house? Do they like buying these things? What's wrong with these people? Now, to the movie intellects, well, that's the way normal people react. But to somebody that's not operating in the flesh, operating in the spirit, you're going, and you call us peculiar? Why am I watching these fools do this thing? None of us have proper control of ourselves. And all of us want control of everybody else. Did you ever notice that? I don't care how stupid, dumb, ignorant, goofy I act. I really want to tell you how it should be. That foolishness does not negate the work of God in my life. And the cool part about the work that has been completed is it's still being completed in me. His work has been completed, but His work in me has not yet been completed, even though it's completed. Now, it depends on how long is it going to take this work to be completed? Well, it depends on how stubborn you really are. Because the completed work will be done in you when you agree that the completed work is finished. That doesn't mean when you say I'm perfect. That means that I totally agree, God, that the work is finished. I'm sorry about that goofy thing that I just did, but the work is completed. I'm sorry about that slip up of the tongue, but the work is completed, Lord, and I thank You for that. I thank You that I'm today better than I was yesterday, and I will be better tomorrow than I was today. Thank You, Lord. It's all You. It's not me. Amen. That's the completed work we have to do. It's that, the world would call it optimism. I call it truth. And we're finally getting a hold of it. The truth has always been there. That's the work that's completed. Us getting a hold of it is the work that's in completion. Or incomplete, being completed. Amen? Come on. Yeah. Our ability to not control situations, is that evident of God not being real and alive and finished? And look, we all get there. We all get fidgety. It's what they call stress. Stress is evidence of God not being in control. You can say yes. You can say yes. Dan can say yes. I can say yes. It'd be good to say yes about this. Stress is evidence of God not being in control. Stress comes from us being in control or wanting to be in control and not lacking it because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Come on. If God orders our steps, and He does, then even the screw-ups might be ordered. That's why the Bible says give God praise in all things. Give Him thanks in all things. Too many times we screw up and there goes the work of God. We start completely over again, but God doesn't. We went back to the beginning and started over, and God says, wait a minute, I never told you to go back there. I'm right here. I'm years away from that. I'm over here. What are you going back over there for? Get up off your knees and quit repenting and just change. I'll help you. Just don't get discouraged. I can help you easier. How about the lack of knowledge or understanding of the future? Does that negate the work of God? If I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and I can't plan it and I can't control it, does that mean God's not about His business? By the way, I'm His business. How about if things are not going the way I like or the way I expected them to go? See, I knew that faith thing was no good. I never will forget that time. My brother looked at me. It was one of those lines drawn in the sand, and he took the wrong way. He said, I'm either healed or I'm not healed. And I said, that's right. That's right. I can't argue with that. That's the truth. Well, I don't feel healed. Well, what's that got to do with whether you are or not? Your feelings do not define and dictate the stripes and the bruises that Jesus bore. They have nothing to do with it. He did that as a gift. All you need to do is receive the gift. Stand on that gift until it becomes a reality so you can walk in it. Number two, how fast are we, or how quick are we, to express concern? A, do others know us as a warrior, a worrier, or a lifter of heads? My dad always called my mom a worrywart. She was kind of a worrier. I never could understand that because she had strong faith, but it was just in her to worry. Whenever you try to put fires out that aren't there, you're a worrier. And she would. She'd think down the road 3 miles about all the bad things that could happen. That's a worrier. You're not going to... Let me turn it around. Let me get off of that and say this. If you are not lifting my head with your conversation, then you are not doing what God wants you to do. You can call it a worrier or a warrior. I don't care what you call it. If you're not a lifter of heads, that means if you can't take my head down from a down position and raise it up, then you're not doing the work that's been completed in you. You're not even allowing the work that God has completed in you to manifest itself. Any creation on the earth can bum you out. It doesn't take a bit of talent at all. Any untalented, unwise person can bum another person out. Takes no talent at all. Just that built-in soap opera that's in people. It takes a touch on your life from God to be able to encourage people. Psalms 3:3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." And then we call ourselves Christ-like. Are you a shield for anybody? Are you a lifter of anyone's head? Be. Are you giving God glory? Are you giving situations glory? Most of us have a tendency to give a situation more glory than God. We'd rather worry about it. We'd rather talk about it. It tickles our flesh. It makes our flesh feel good. I'm not interested in my flesh feeling good. I'm interested in my flesh being beat down and God glorified. See, in our normal walk and talk, do we build God up or do we build the problems up that face us? Well, praise God. But you don't know what I'm facing. How many times have you heard that or said that? You don't know the situation. I'm going to say it again. Good, let's keep it that way. I really don't want to know the situation. You know, I want to know the answer. Oh, I can't tell you how many times people start talking about something and I want to say, can we get to the end of this? Everybody thinks their story is different. You ever notice that? No matter what their problem is, they think the story is different. It's not. It's the same old song, second verse. That's all it is. I know, your dog died, your wife left you, your truck quit running. Now, what are we going to do about it? Sing of His glory. Don't sing the country and western song. Sing of His glory. Do we make mountains out of molehills? Or is God bigger than any mountain? The guy I was talking about that had this story about the energy. He was making a mountain out of a molehill. Y'all know what that means. Making something bigger than it really is. Or is God bigger than any mountain? Let's go back to what I said earlier. Why don't we just get to the end of the story? God's bigger than your story. What's the end of every complaint? God. What's the end of every worry? God. What's the end of what's the completion of any situation or problem? God. The completed work of God. He's altogether lovely. And all of a sudden, I heard He's altogether. You know anybody that's altogether? God is. He's altogether. So what's the answer? Altogether. There's nothing that passed altogether. Are we wanting to build God and His works up to others? Or are we going for sympathy and misery loves company? You understand what misery loves company means? It's woven all through our psychiatric and psychological understanding. Let people express themselves. Say, that was a great question. That was a great... That is a tremendous problem. Let me help you out with that. Because flesh misery loves to feel and hear flesh misery. We get comfort out of that. And when we don't get comfort out of that, we get comfort out of my flesh trying to help your flesh. It's still all dung. There's a completed work of God. That means there's an answer over here called God. And whatever you take to Him, He's bigger than whatever you take to Him. Amen. And our answer to every woe is me should be, God, I got your answer, God. You know what God did for you? You know what He wants to do for you? You know, He wants to help you with this problem. Don't tell me I can't do a cotton-picking thing about it. But I know someone who can. Tell it to Him and see how big it looks after you tell it to Him. 3. Do we believe in praising God for the work that He has finished? And do we believe in doing it out loud? Are we a lover of darkness? We want to be quiet. What's done in secret, we think will stay secret. The Bible says we'll be revealed openly. Do we believe in praising God for work that has been finished? And do we believe in doing it out loud? Now look, praising God is not just say, praise God. That's not what I mean. You don't have to go around saying praising God out loud all the time, even though that's not bad. What I'm saying is praising God is acknowledging to those that need and to yourself that there's been a work that's completed. When I get up in the morning and my foot hits the floor and there's some pain or there's some worry or there's a worry about tomorrow or whatever, I have to out loud say everything's okay. Everything's fine. I remember what my Bible said that God did about this situation before I even knew there was a situation, and I think I'll walk in that. A lot of this came from one instance where I was hurting, and I began to say something. I don't even know what it was. I manifested a problem. Connie said, I don't know what she responded, like, yeah? You know, what problem? Or whatever she, how she responded, I said, everything's okay. Everything's fine. I have to say that everything's fine out loud, or everything's not fine.
Right.
I have to say things are good out loud, or they're not good. I have to say I'm healed out loud, or I'm not healed. I have to make that joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't have to tell everybody, just a minute, I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It has to be part of my conversation from the thought process. I have to openly manifest Him as my Lord, as He openly manifests me as His Son. He's not ashamed of me. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. Well, I'm telling you, I have a hope that's beyond normal hope. And I can face any situation with the idea that everything's fine, no matter what it looks like. That's the God in me coming out. That's the completed work coming out. People can look at me and say, are you crazy? You don't look successful. You don't look healed. Well, I was blind. Now I see. Why don't you see better? Why don't you see what I see? Out loud. Hey, are we sure by the Word that God is in control? You know, there's been a tremendous attack in my generation that takes away from the belief that God is in control. I don't know how it happened. I got to thinking about that early this morning. How in the world did anybody ever get to the point, knowing God, to believe that He's not totally in control? It's God and I. I'm not in control. Don't put me in the same sentence with God when it deals with control. God has completed the work. He is so much in control that He rests in that. He's not excited. He's not worried. Why can't I rest in the fact that God's in control? Does our conversation and our attitudes reflect trust in God or fear in the future or for the future? Come on. Are we afraid of the future? Or is our trust totally in God? You know, if you want an attack, especially some of you younger, if you want an attack, I sat and watched my mom and dad live to a ripe old age and all their friends die. And I was always thinking, that has got to be some kind of an attack. I mean, you live so long that there's nobody alive to do your funeral. You have to get a stranger to do your funeral if you live long enough. You know that? You've outlived all your friends, all your pastors. There's nobody there that knows. You understand what I'm saying? How discouraging can that be if your faith is not in God, the tomorrow in God? This morning, pulled into the post office, and here's this younger person and this older guy going in into the assisted living. And the devil keeps yelling at you, that's what age brings. That's what society tells you.
Right.
This is what age brings. No, where's the promise in the Word of that? Not one time is there promise of that in the Bible. There's a promise that not one of your abilities will go away.
Right.
Maybe there wouldn't be so much of this if people knew more about the Word. You go everywhere now, there's oxygen. What a ripoff. What a ripoff. All you got to do is go to the doctor's office, and because it's easy to prescribe and the government will pay for it, here, have some oxygen. That'll be so much. Everybody's carrying a jug. Your flesh, your spirit man says, why? Your flesh man says, well, it's common knowledge that oxygen is good for everybody. It doesn't hurt anything. You know why? What? That's why God put some in the air. That's why He put some in the air. I'm not against people that need it, using it. I'm against the fact that that could be my source. I got this little sneaky feeling that if I need more oxygen, God will just crank up this little container that I'm in right here. He just give me a little more right where I'm at. Because He's completed a work. Do we complain and worry more or thank God more? Which one is the most we do? If somebody were to count our words, would there be more worry or more thanks? Do those that know us know that we know? I'm going to say it again. Do those that know us know that we know that our God is big enough to keep us safe and secure? Or do the people that know you, do they hear your testimony, but they know you don't believe it? That's all done by words, by the way. Don't defend yourself. You'll be like Kerry. By the way, did y'all watch the Republican National Convention?
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. There was a Democrat that got up there and railed on the Democrats. I mean, just stood all of them up and pulled their pants down right in front of everybody. You know who it was? An old goat that had nothing to lose. He was retiring. Somebody that you can admire because he wasn't afraid. Why don't we just get that way when we're younger? Why don't we wait until we say there's nothing to lose? Why, when we're young, don't we just have nothing to lose? Why don't we just blurt out the truth and let let the devil have the rest? I want to tell you something, just in case anybody's not decided about how to vote. Did you know that John Kerry's picture is in the Hanoi Hall of Fame? I'm serious about this. I'm not kidding you. Jane Fonda's there. All of those war protesters. And the caption under it says, if it weren't for the war protesters, we would have lost the war. Did you know that? The last Swift Boat ads are men that one of them served over 2,400 days in captivity, tortured, trying to get this. They were trying to get him to say what John Kerry said without any coercion. That's what won the war for him. We gave up because of people like John Kerry's words that are going out there. What's this got to do with the message? It's the same war, guys. It's right against wrong. It's good against bad. Whose side are you on? All the time? Or just when it's politically correct? Get a copy what's that guy's name, Zell Miller? Get a copy of his speech. Get a copy of his speech. And those people that want to vote for Kerry or any Democrat, hand it to them. Hand it to them. Somebody in this service last night, I'm going to vote for Kerry. I said, have you checked any voting records? Nope. Well, you're just going to vote. Yeah. Without any proof, without any reason at all. No, you're not going to prove him to be right or wrong. You're just going to vote for him. Yeah. Now, why don't you just put your brain in a box and don't think ever again. We'll know who you are. Now, that'll cause some problems, I guarantee you. Number four, are we deceived into believing that we have the right to complain? Are you deceived in believing that you have the right to complain and worry in one breath and praise God in the next? I used it like I wanted. Are you deceived in believing that you can worry and complain in one breath and praise God in the next? James 1:8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his. A, do those that believe in God know His goodness? And do they have the right to worry? If you know God's goodness, do you have the right to worry and complain?
No.
See, in this country, we believe we have the right to kill babies, we have the right to commit suicide, we have the right to do anything we want to. And we need to learn that we don't have the right to do and say anything we want to. For those that serve the kingdom of God, this is a theocracy. You bow to Him, not to worry and fear. Those that know and believe in God and His goodness have the right to gripe. Well, it sure feels good. Never will forget that cartoon. Who was that cartoon? You remember that? Who did it? Was it? I don't know. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon, and I never will forget. Yosemite Sam, I think that you're right. And I've always thought about that about Christians. Nothing funnier than a preacher, and we got one white-headed one that's a comic, but he loves to man, the car ran off the road and wrecked and killed a guy, praise God, and man, that cost me $10,000, praise God. Everything is praise God. He never gives credit to the devil at all. He only praises God. Don't do that. You can say the enemy tried to kill, steal, and destroy. That's fine. Then you can praise God. But don't talk about how much God is killing, stealing, and destroying by saying praise you for that. You understand? It may sound contradictory to say give thanks to all things. Don't thank God for catastrophes. Don't do that. And don't praise Him for that. Praise Him for all the good things that He... Look, if you're still talking about it, evidently you're not part of the catastrophe, so praise God. Right? Come on. Do we have the right to be afraid? I want to ask you, my wife brought home a horror movie, and I've already told her I don't like that, and I told her don't do it again. My goal in life is not to be scared. So bring in a horror movie and try to scare me. All you're going to do is make me mad. At the end of every horror movie, there's no ending. You know that?
The bad guy will get killed, and then here his hand comes up again. That's the way it always is. That's because those people that operate in horror know there's never an end to horror. I don't operate in horror. I don't care about horror. I don't want to be scared. I want you to be afraid of me. I don't want to be afraid of you. Don't bring in sales pitches where I can learn to be goosebumpy. I hate horror movies. They convince you that it's all right to be afraid. Well, God gives His children sweet sleep unless they watch horror movies. Are we to represent, this is number five, the last one. Are we to represent the Father in truth or fear? By the way, the name of this dumb, stupid movie was Godsend. Godsend. It was based on the fact that actually I think somebody probably had a good intent. It was about taking a cell of a dead boy and reproducing so the parents could have their son again. So it's basically making a statement against cloning because it all went downhill after that. And they named it Godsend. What man did is a godsend. Well, bottom line, it was warped. And I know they were trying to make a statement against cloning. But a sane man doesn't have to make a statement against cloning. That's not natural. It's not God. We're not going to do it. It'll never work out. It'll always go bad. Let's just understand that. Five, are we to represent the Father in truth or fear? A, do we have the truth about God? Or do we have somebody else's report about God? How many of us have lost some of our faith because of supposedly faithful Christians telling us how it went wrong? And we're not bold enough to say, you must have had a hiccup in your faith. Anybody be bold enough to say when a mighty person of faith starts complaining to you, are you bold enough to say what Jesus did? Oh, you have little faith? Now, isn't that His answer? When they came and complained to Him, He said, oh, you have little faith? The last time you told one of your Christian buddies, oh, you have little faith. In other words, blame them instead of God. The problem is when we listen to Christians tell us how bad their lives are, all we're really hearing is how bad God is to them. And that will chink our faith armor. We need to stop it. B, God has done great things for us. Has God done great things for us? Do we walk in that or let fears and worries drive the truth away? David remembered the lion, the bear, not so he could recall great victories in flesh. He recalled that because he was remembering how good God is. If we're worried, we need to go back and remember how good God is so that we'll look forward to how good He's going to be. See, when is the last time God failed in caring for you? Come on, let's get down to the basics. When is the last time God really failed you? Well, that's how many times it's going to happen in the future. Now, come on, if your faith is that He's failed you many times in the past, that's how many times it's going to happen in the future. But if you know in your knower right in here that God has never failed you, then that's how many times He's going to fail you in the future. Are you expecting Him to fail at any moment? Are you expecting Him to turn your back on you any moment now? Just any moment. I know He hasn't done it in the past, but I can just feel a good one coming on. Well, see, it's not really His fault. It's because I did so-and-so. And now I have to have this bad thing happen to me. What happened to the blood? Enough sins weaken it down where it no longer covers? You get thinned down, right? The altitude. It's the altitude. It doesn't cover us here anymore.
No.
Why do we forget? And why do we practice by letting untruth come from our lips? You know how much of a liar we really are? When we are not speaking God's word, we are liars. When we are reflecting the badness of society or the badness of our income or the badness of anything, we are liars because it goes against the direct word of God. Why? That's why we need to be counting it all dung. You know, my concerns, my worries, my complaints, my expressions of my opinions, dung. Hey, you know what would be cool? If when we start complaining to each other, we just look at each other and say, dung. Dung. Can I introduce you to God? Evidently, you don't remember Him anymore. You don't remember how good He is and what He's done and what He's finished. You don't remember that. In God's plan for your life, there's only success for those that believe in the true God. You know how many false gods are out there?
Thousands.
There's thousands in every church. I believe there's thousands in every church. You don't believe, walk into church and hear the doubt and unbelief. Listen to it. It's there all over. John 3:16. Let's go to basics again. Y'all like basics? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, if we didn't go any further, that would be enough. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him, here's the catch, whoever believes in Him, it's not enough to believe there's a God. The devil believes there's a God. He knows there's a God. He knows there's a God more than most Christians do. Whoever believes who God really is should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay. Now, anything that would cause you to perish has now been taken care of. John 3:16 took care of anything that would cause you to perish in any way. Nothing can take away your everlasting life if you believe that He is who He is and He's done what He's done. There's no perishing. There's only abundant life. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So now we've passed perishing, gone into life, and then we've gone right into abundant life. So if you're not walking in an abundant life, it must be that you're not believing in Him. Oh boy. There goes a psychiatrist, psychologist, most ministries, right down the tube. Because we've just taken away all their reason to exist. All they have to learn is that if there's any perishing or if there's any lack of abundance in your life, you must not be believing in Him. Whew. Now it got quiet. We are to walk in authority, not fear. Not the kind of authority that if you yell enough and scream enough, somebody will back down. No. Authority takes no verbiage. Did you know that? Walking in authority, you don't have to say a thing to walk in authority. When I walk into this room, I own the room. I don't have to say so. When I walk into my house, I own the house. I don't have to say so. It's not because I bought it, it's because God gave it to me. I don't have to go to my wife and say, now you know who the husband in this place is, don't you? Come on. You know that you are the submitted one, right? You know why somebody would have to say that? Because they don't believe it. Walk in authority. Psalms 110:2. You need to write this down. Psalms 110:2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength. The Lord will send your strength. The Lord will be your strength. Out of Zion, that's the mountain where He rules. You believe that? Rule in the midst of your enemies. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The Lord will send you the ability to rule in the midst of your enemies. That's courtrooms. That's auto body shops. That's oil fields. That's every place that you are. God is giving you the ability to rule in the midst of your enemies. Matthew 22:44 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to use a terrible word here. It means patience while the Lord's doing His thing. Well, He ain't doing it fast enough. Oh, yes, He is. You're just in high gear and you shouldn't be. We need to learn that God is always right and we're always wrong. The hardest thing in the world to learn, God is always right, we're always wrong. If we want to be right, we have to be in Him. If we want Him to be wrong, He can be in us. Weird way to say that. But anyway, God's reason for being God. Did you know God has a reason for being God? He's not God just to be God. He has a reason for being God. For sending Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit, was to provide for us a good and sure life. God never had to step up to the plate and said, I'm God. He did it to let us know that He's God for us and not against us. His very name, jealous. His very name, power and authority, healing and health. His very name, prosperity, was not so that He would know it, so that we would know it. You know Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the thoughts I think for you, towards you, says the Lord. See, sometimes we get the strange idea that we make Him mad and He has bad thoughts about us. Can I tell you something? You ain't big enough to make Him mad. I wish parents could understand their authority over children. You don't have to get mad at your children. You have to be firm with your children. Because you know who you are, and you know who they aren't yet, and you know what the law is. Screaming and yelling never establishes the law. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. His thoughts for us is to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, when you know that, you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Oh, I prayed and the heavens were iron. The heavens were closed. Oh, please. Somebody come up with a formula in the Bible where it says the heavens are closed. I've heard hard heart. I've heard ears that can't hear. I've heard a lot of different ways why we don't get through to God. And even in Jeremiah 29:11, one of the ways that He doesn't hear us is when we don't believe totally in who He is. But that don't mean the heavens are closed. That means your mind is closed to the heaven. Romans 8:28. There's a lot of good stuff. I hope somebody's taping this or something. Go back in there and edit some of that bad stuff. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, please don't get stumbled on the word called. Everybody is called to God's purpose. There's nobody that's ever born that's not called to God's purpose. It says you need to believe in Him. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, this is not the love we see on television. This is the love where you actually give yourself to God. He wants us well so much that He worked for our health. Now, do you understand that? He worked for our prosperity. He didn't just speak it. He worked for it. He paid for it. And now all we have to do is celebrate and believe. He did the work. We think it's hard to praise and celebrate. What nonsense. He did the work. Amen. This is a basis of our theology, correct? We're just reviewing the unless you become as a little child theology. Isaiah 53:5. He was. Did He earn it? Wounded for our transgressions. Did He work for our healing?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was bruised for our iniquities. He wanted us to walk free without sin. He worked for it. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He worked for our peace. And by His stripes we are healed. Are already, the work is done. He's already paid the price. Don't ask Him to do it again. He won't do it again. He had enough fun the first time. Come on, I'm being facetious here. It wasn't fun for Him. He sweat blood. He bore stripes. He was bruised. He was penalized. He was punished. He suffered. He did the work. This is the Labor Day I want to celebrate. He did the work. What little thing we have to do is just remember that and give Him thanks. Tell some other people about it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring it health and healing. Jeremiah 33:6, behold. Hey, if you and I were talking here, listen to me. Understand. I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. You want some more peace and truth? You want some more abundance? Shut up your talk. Listen to Him. Talk like He talks. Whatever your nature is, change your nature. 3 John 2. Do you think that prayers are answered?
Yeah.
You think God hears them all? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Okay. My question, I asked my wife this the other day, I'll ask you. If with that scripture in mind, should we be working at prosperity, or should we be working on our souls?
Working on our souls.
Should we work harder to make more money, or should we work harder on our souls so that we can make more money? Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. When we are in doubt and pain, fearful, worried about the future, we have but one thing to do, and that's to remember of His labors, His will, and His promises. Here's a promise for you. Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, all you need to do is say that until you believe it. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. Who's going to condemn a tongue that rises?
We are.
You will. Whose tongue are you really going to hear? Please listen to me. That person that's saying bad things to you is not the tongue that you curse. It's the enemy behind that. We lose our focus, whether it be a divorce, whether it be an estate settlement. That doesn't make any difference what it is. Don't get lost in the person. Remember where the enemy is at. You curse the enemy. You curse the tongue of the enemy. But don't do it to the person that's in front of you. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And I'll keep you sane. I'll keep you right. You just do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of the rest. Are His words sure and true? Will they accomplish in our lives what we allow them to accomplish? Those can only be stopped by worry, fear, and wrong conversation. God desires to bless and care for us. God desires to bless and care for us. Now, come on, let that soak in. God desires to bless us and care for us. You're not some little worm under somebody's feet. You're something that God desires to care for and bless. I think when He wants to do something, but He can. He just wants us to trust Him and act like you trust Him. I'm going to end with the 23rd Psalm. Basic, simple. I could have not brought you any simpler basic scriptures today. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to show you how important this is. This is a statement. This is not a prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. The next time you want something, you must say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. It's not alcohol. It's not food. It's not sleep. It's not getting even, and it's not fighting back. And boy, did I win that conversation. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. By the way, I'm not right because I'm right. I'm right because God leads me in paths of righteousness. I'm free because God leads me in paths of righteousness. Not because I'm so smart. Come on, we got to get away from that I'm so smart stuff. That'll kick you real hard. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Please don't hear that to say the shadow, the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, not even a scary movie. I refuse to be scared. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Listen to this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That doesn't say you'll never have enemies. It says I'll still be eating good in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You cause my cup to run over. I can stop it by punching holes in the truth. But if I just don't punch holes in the truth, my cup's going to run over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that sounds like a different story than I've heard in times past. Some of you believe that surely ungoodness and unmercy follow you all. I've heard the stories. I just don't believe them. I believe you believe them, but I don't believe them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, except, is there an except in there? All the days of my life. Well, I had a bad Christmas. No, you didn't. Yeah, you did, but God didn't participate with you. He gave you good days, you turned them to bad. Come on, get real. It's your fault. Boy, that's a rough one, isn't it? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You notice that didn't say one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? He's talking about right now. Yeah. Starting right this moment, because of all of those things, I will dwell. That means that's where I stay. You ain't dragging me out. I'm staying there. In the house of the Lord forever. Learn the 23rd Psalm and a lot of your problems will go away. You don't have to learn the whole thing. Just learn the first verse. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
Y'all know what the first verse is? There you go. If you don't, if you can't remember anything else, that's enough. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know how many times, million times I've said that, by the way. You know how many times you say that? As many as it takes. How many times a day would be more like it? The Lord is my shepherd. So, there's the other. You get to think like me, that's weird. If we're wanting, then the Lord is not my shepherd. It's cool to turn Scripture. It really is. The best thing in the world is turn Scripture around. Say it backwards. Say it forward. Say it whatever way it takes to stick in our mind. It's amazing when you reverse Scripture how Scripture opens up. And most of the time it'll open up like this. The point will be right to you. I'm not trying to be rough on us. I'm trying to be rough on us to make us believe that God is still here, alive, real, and not one thing has ever passed away. Not one of His wishes. Not one of His works. I get so tired of hearing about how much more perilous the times are today. Well, you never got thrown in the lion's den. You never met a Goliath. Don't tell me how big the problems are. Actually, in our society, they're a lot less than in most. Let's give God thanks for that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's telling your flesh, stop worrying, stop wanting. The Lord is your shepherd. Amen? All right. Basic and simple. I don't know how to be any more simple. You think I could? Nothing hard to understand about this, right? No challenge to anybody's theology, correct? No, you didn't answer me on that one. Was there any challenge to anybody's theology? Okay, I hope it just challenged us to live up to our theology. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of what we believe. We forget what we believe. You know that? Actually, I forget in who I believe. When I forget what I believe, I forget who I'm believing in. And that's shame on me. I need to change that. All right, y'all stand with me. I believe it's time to quit. And he's excited. All hearts clear? I want to thank you again for being here on a day where you had an excuse not to be. I pray that God honors you for that and blesses you for that. This is scary.
I want to pray for these kids.
I think you should do that anyway. I think you should always lay your kids back on the altar. But what's...
Well, there's been some struggles. And...
All right.
There's been some growing up going on and some difficulties. And we want to make sure that...
Amen.
These kids are in God's hands.
Okay.
They know that and that they...
Then let me speak to him for a second. I got something for him. Do you know how sorry your parents are? They do. They know that they're bad parents. I'm not trying to be mean to them. Every parent knows how bad a parent they really have been. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
It's on my mind constantly. I wish I could do it again. I wish I could do it better.
Yep.
They're not perfect parents. If they've ever said it to you, they lied. They were deceived. They're really bad parents. They're really bad parents. Now, does that give you an excuse to do bad? When you get older and you get to be a parent, you know what you're going to do? The very best you can, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And if you hold it against your parents, God will hold it against you. The Bible says you honor your parents, no matter what you think of them. Listen to me. You look at me. Don't look down. I'm not trying to be mean, but you listen to me. God says honor your parents. It doesn't mean tell them that they're always right or feel in your heart that they're always right. It just means do what they say until you're old enough to do what you want to do. And you're not old enough yet. You like God? You trust Him? You think what I said this morning is true, that He's going to do the best He can for you? Only if you cooperate with your parents. Because the Bible says that if you don't honor them, you'll have a short life. Did you know that? I didn't mean to be rude, but I mean, let's be honest. As parents, we're dumber than posts. The only thing that will ever come good out of your life is what God has done through them. You hear me? God is working through your parents. He's working through your parents. He doesn't say, I'm going to wait for them to be perfect to work through them. It's cool to have kids that have gotten older. It gives you a lot more understanding. Mileage always gives you more understanding. I wish I could go back. You know how many times I mistreated my kids by doing dumb things? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to say there's a lot of them. And pretty much they did what I told them to do, and God's honored them, giving them good kids, giving them good wives or husbands, and their life is going well because they did what I asked them or told them or commanded them to do. Not based on me being a good parent. Not based on them being a good parent. Based on you honoring God through them. Please, listen to me. Do you remember the scripture I said today about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? That's a terrible accusation. Don't disobey God and ask Him to do anything for you. And when you disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. Is that plain enough, guys? Y'all are witnesses. Is that plain enough? Honor God enough, love God enough to obey your parents, even when they're totally wrong. And I know about half the time you think they're totally wrong. Right? But they're not. And so what if they are? Do you think they're wrong to hurt you? Do you think their goal is to hurt you guys? Do you think their rules and regulations and all those crazy things that are just nonsense, do you think it's put there to hurt you? Well, then just put up with it. That's what kids' jobs are, to put up with those goofy parents. Right? And honor God in the process. You bring honor to God by obeying the goofy parents. And later on, when you're older, y'all can talk about all the goofy things that happen and y'all laugh about it, and you're still serving God, and so are they. And you'll have trouble with your kids because you're going to be doing dumb things and you won't know it till later.
That's what I want to share too. And what he's saying is correct. And that is that, you know, you both are Christians. But you're so close to them, you don't realize that you guys should use that.
Not against your parents.
Not against one another. Enjoy that. Did you know that I have a brother? You know, I really didn't either. I know that I have a brother, but there's so much spread in age that by the time that I was born, he left the house. And you know, now that both my mom and dad are gone, one of these days, you're not going to have, you know, unless the Lord comes back quicker, you're not going to have your mom and you're not going to have your dad. But did you know, I want you to look at Jonathan. And did you know that there's a little bit of your mom there and a little bit of your dad there? And Jonathan, I want you to look at Amanda. And there's a little bit of your mom and a little bit of your dad. And that's me to have whenever your mom and dad aren't there. That's me to be able to see, you know what, a little part of my mom and dad are right here. A little part of my mom and dad are right there. And don't do anything now that would destroy that down the road, okay? Don't do anything. Don't try to be his mama. And don't try to be her daddy. Okay? Be friends. Be friends, you guys. You're not going to be at this age for a long time. You're going to get older and have friends, have a spouse, have a husband. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have children. You guys need to be able to enjoy one another now and be able to enjoy one another later, okay?
Now, here's what I see happen. You know what I see your dad doing? Coming up here and shoving you on God, which is the safest, best thing he could ever do. He's not trying to get rid of you. What your parents are doing is beginning to understand that they don't have all the answers, and they're running to the end of themselves. And see, that makes them better parents yet. They don't make you worse kids. It makes them better parents. You're not bad. Are you bad? Are you? Well, don't do that. Don't do that. See how easy that is? We fixed everything. When you feel like talking back, remember God's listening. He's seeing how you're going to treat your dad, how you're going to treat your mom. Right now, that's the most important assignment that God's ever given you. How are you going to treat your mom and dad? It's not going to hurt you to do what they ask you to do. Believe me, you'll live all the way through it. So we're going to pray. You're going to do exactly what your dad has asked us to do. And we're going to trust God that He proves. Here's what I want. I want God to prove to you He's watching. I want you to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt. I ask God right now to prove to you that He's watching, even though you don't think He is. Let him prove it to them too. But you right now, that's what we're praying about, okay? So Father, we ask you right now, as we turn these children back over to you, and I know we have to do it every day. We didn't take them back. We didn't do it intentionally. But sometimes we just take responsibility on ourselves. And even in children, you said, cast all of your cares upon me. I care. I'll care. And so we've asked you to show all concerned here that you care and that you're watching. But we're obeying the word. We're casting our cares upon you, not as burdens, but as responsibilities that we can't handle. But we know that you can. We love them enough to turn them over to you. We love you enough to turn them over to you. Now I ask you, Father, to change their hearts and change their minds. Those things that have snuck in and crept in like an enemy. We curse them and cast them out now. The devil is no part of this family in Jesus' name. Wisdom and wisdom and wisdom and wisdom enter in Jesus' name. Not just on the parents' part, but all concerned. Let a revelation light come in to know right now that God is still a loving God and He cares. And He's full of grace, and He's full of mercy, and nothing is the end of the world.
Amen.
And that no weapon formed against them can prosper.
Amen.
We now speak Psalms 23 over them. The Lord becomes their shepherd. They shall not want for peace or understanding or contentment, that their house will become changed in Jesus' name. Because God is watching. God will not be mocked. Minister, Holy Spirit, 24/7. Until all resolution is clear and firm. We know that it's done because we've not just spoken it, but we've spoken it according to your will and by your word. There's the power, there's the authority, and we move with that now in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with those lousy parents. Love them. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah.
Jonathan and Amanda, you know, I wish when I was young that I had gone to the church that was caring and loving to this church. I had a pastor that could teach as well as he teaches. It would be just a relief to me that I could say that a whole church loves you too enough to really care about you.
Yeah.
About you. You think about that. Not many people want to pray about other people's children. Think about it, kids. You've got a very loving family.
Praise the
Lord. Family right here.
Ma'am.
The thing that you said something about oxygen and giving oxygen to people and carrying on bottles. I'll tell you something about a woman that lives next door to us. She's on oxygen, and they have a truck that comes by every second day.
Wow. That's a lot.
And she has tanks. I mean, they've got tanks underneath the piano. They've got tanks. Everyone, and they've even had a generator that has to make oxygen for her because just in case she runs out. Now, she's on so much oxygen, she's going on the full blast. It goes in her nose full blast, day and night. And she wakes up in the morning, during the night, all the time, and there's blood flowing out of her mouth, out of her nose and mouth. She doesn't want to have God pray for her. She doesn't want anybody to pray for her. Oh no, the doctors are taking care of her.
Yeah.
And Lee and I went over there one time and we said, can we pray about it? Can we pray for you? And boy, she just refused to have any of that done. And now we're seeing something happen. Because she's in such great shape, such terrible shape, her toes are black, her body is huge, she's suffering from all this thing. She can't do anything. They have to take her everywhere in a wheelchair and then load her into the Suburban. And, oh, it's just a burden on the whole family. And now I see them starting to say things differently. They're talking about God once in a while. I went over there the other day and I was talking to her and her two children, and there was more conversation about God than there had ever been in that family in years.
Amen.
Pray for them. They're going to change. The name's his name is Cleve.
Amen.
Pray for them. Just keep them, just think about it and say, well, whatever that family is next door to Harry, pray for them. And we pray that there will be a change in that attitude. It's really sad.
Amen.
It's really sad.
Amen.
Thank you.
I would have liked to have gone to a church that taught straight truth
Oh, it would have been so much better for us, you know, for every one of us.
One of my goals in life is to speak the truth simply because I have been so many places that spoke half-truth. And you leave wondering, what? I know I'm excited. I may be encouraged, but I'm not too sure what about. And I don't want to be that way. I'd rather not be encouraged. I'd rather be challenged. I hate to say that, but it may sound a little tough. But by the way, do you know your kids are not bad? I want to say it to you again. You didn't answer me clearly a while ago. You're not a bad kid, and you're not a bad kid. And only the devil would tell you you are. Only the devil would tell you, anybody in this place, that they're bad. I played the devil's advocate a while ago when I said bad parents, because I know what the truth is. The truth is that once this is completed, you wish you could do it again, then do it right. That's what parents do. I wish I had it, could do it again.
Parents raise their children.
My dad always said this, Harry. He said, I know why God gives children to young people. They think they know what they're doing, and by the time they're old enough to know they don't, they've already raised their kids. And it's absolutely the truth. Now, people get older, they don't want to have kids because they know they can't do it. They can't handle it. So, anyway, anybody else? And we'll get out of here.
We have corporate prayer for our troops and for our those in leadership.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that right now. Father, we, by the tenderness of the heart and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we raise up to you the troops in the field, not just in Iraq, but spread out around the United States. We ask you to hold them up and protect them. Be their advocate, be their sword, be their shield. Make them bulletproof for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we do speak about the leadership of this country. We know what's right. We're not going to guess whether it's Republican or Democrat. We know what's wrong. That's the main thing. We do not want a commander-in-chief. We do not want leaders in Senate and Congress, whether it be state or federal, that are anti-Christ. Lord, raise up a standard in this country. Bring up those that believe in you. Raise them up. You said you hold kings in your hand. Raise them up now. Let them be the only focus in everyone's eyes. When they go to the polls, when they cast their ballots, let them only be able to see the names that you want them to see. Show us the enemy being put down as a footstool under our feet and yours. Lord, the falsehoods, the lies that are being spread. Hear every prayer of every heart, every thought process that went through the day, the desires of the heart. We lift the entire situation up to you, cast those cares upon you, and now we praise you for doing what you wanted to do the whole time and have come into agreement with us that your will be done. We love you, Lord. Let our troops shine. Let our all forces that are given authority in this country, let them turn their eyes toward you and become those righteous peacemakers instead of unlawful lawmakers. Your law is what counts. Your way is what counts. Move on this place. Move through your Christians, through your people, to pray the right prayers and believe the right way so that you can do your work freely. We love you, Lord. We cast our cares upon you once again. We do it for your honor. We do it for your glory and say all these things that we've prayed are done according to your word, according to your will, and by your power. And we prayed them and thanked you in Jesus' name. Amen.